1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, "You should follow me, even as I also follow Christ. Now I praise you, brothers, that you remember me in everything and keep the things that I commanded you to keep. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." That's another reason why Jesus is not God, because the head of Christ is God. "Every man praying or prophesying with a covered head dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is as if she was shaven. But if the woman is not covered, let her also be shaved. But if it's a shame for a woman to be shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. But as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it appropriate that a woman should pray to God uncovered? Doesn't even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a shame to him? But if a woman has long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone wants to be argumentative, we have no such custom, nor the churches of God. Now, whatever all that means, I'm not quite sure. But I think the point is that there in the city of Corinth, they had certain understandings about men and women, which Paul is saying you need to be different to them. Because in the Lord, in the Lord Jesus, neither is the man without the woman, nor is the woman without the man. Because the Bible is really quite radical in the way that it gives value to women at a time when women were not valued at all, in the same way as slaves were not really counted as people. But the Bible in the New Testament gives a huge value to every human being, including slaves. So the simple lesson is that we should not be frightened of being very, very different to the people amongst whom we live, because we know God and we know his love and his way of valuing people. So he goes on. Now, in what I'm going to now talk to you about, I do not praise you, because you come together in your gatherings, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there's divisions among you, and I partly believe it. So he's saying that division between people is really awful. And there must also be heresies, false teachings among you, that those who are approved may be made clear as to whom they are. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not, unfortunately, to eat the Lord's Supper in the way that you're doing it. For when you eat, each one is taking before another his own food. One is hungry, another is drunken. So can you imagine, they came together to break bread, and they brought a huge packed lunch, some of them, but the poor people didn't have anything. Some people were stuffing themselves, other people weren't. Some people had ice cream, other people didn't even have a crust of bread to eat. Some people were getting drunk on wine. Don't you have houses to eat and to drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those that don't have? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. But I have received of the Lord Jesus what I already told you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This represents my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup when he'd eaten, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in memory of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whoever will eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge or condemn ourselves, we would not be condemned. For when we are condemned, we're being chastened or punished by the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. And if any man's hungry, let him eat at home, so that you don't come together in order to be condemned. And the rest I'll put in order when I come. So this is the basis upon which we do the breaking of bread, with the bread representing the body of Jesus and the wine representing his blood. And he's saying that we should have a humble attitude and respectful attitude to each other, and that we there are meeting with Jesus, and that he said that he would not do this again with us until he does it when he comes in his kingdom. So what we're doing when we take the bread and wine, we're acting out, as it were, what we're going to be doing one day in the future, actually with Jesus literally present.